Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
This is what I came into this morning.
You
a lot of energy
it.
Here.
You initiated it.
All I said was,
my headphones are too big.
Somebody used my headset.
I got a blower.
My head.
It's messing up my hair.
Welcome Thursday morning. We're punchy because we were up late last night at the Mass of the Archangels.
Yeah, happy feast day.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
happy
that
feast
really
day.
Was beautiful.
It was.
And well
Father
attended.
Driscoll, man, knocks it out of the park. He always does. That's Father Driscoll for you.
Go to him afterwards. Father Driscoll, I followed the whole thread where you were going in that homily, and I got to the end with you. You know, he's a big intellect mind, and he graced us last night with a beautiful homily. Thanks,
praise
everyone
God.
Who came out.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Just and a beautiful and the Archbishop for celebrating.
I hadn't seen him in so long. It was great to see him.
Father Driscoll or the Archbishop?
The Archbishop.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe he'll stop by the studio one day again.
That'd
soon.
That'd be nice.
Of, yeah. So thanks, everyone. It is the feast day of Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, the archangels, the three
Woo-hoo.
Named angels in the Bible. And so we pray for their intercession today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
O God, who dispose in marvelous order ministries both angelic and human, graciously grant that our life on earth may be defended by those who watch over us as they minister perpetually to you in heaven. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our sponsor, Spring Hill College, making their students real world ready. Spring Hill College, one of the most affordable Jesuit Catholic colleges in the country. See all Spring Hill has to offer at shc.edu.
And in world news, Hurricane Ian made landfall, leaving many people trapped in flooded homes and over 2.5 million without power. Ian's tropical storm force winds extended up to 415 miles, drenching much of Florida and the southeastern Atlantic coast. After a French court confirmed the removal of a statue of St. Michael from a seaside town, supporters have vowed to continue their struggle. Speaking to law students at the Catholic University of America, Justice Samuel Alito, author of the deciding opinion that overturned Roe v. Wade, stressed the importance of his Catholic faith to serving on the highest court in the country, saying that a person's faith shapes what kind of person he or she is, and that should affect the way you treat people when you're serving as a judge. Rapper Coolio, known for his hits Gangsta's Paradise, Fantastic Voyage, and See You When You Get There, died yesterday at the age of 59. No cause given for the death. Police have arrested a convicted bomber who escaped from a Nevada prison where he was serving a life sentence for a deadly 2007 explosion outside a Las Vegas Strip. And finally, in sports news, last night, Aaron Judge hit his 61st home run, tied Roger Maris, who set the record back in 1969. Don't forget tonight, St. Michael's homecoming game against Orange Beach.
Right here
on Archangel Radio. Yep, pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7 on the main station. And of course tomorrow, you know, with McGill Tulin takes on the Baldwin County Tigers.
And it's their homecoming too. It's homecoming week.
Yeah.
Coming all over the place.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, and then tonight the Dolphins play the Bengals.
Oh, that's right.
So,
yeah. Mike's we'll new see, favorite we'll team.
I've always liked the Dolphins. I was always a huge Dan Marino fan growing up. So.
Everybody loves Dan Marino.
I know.
Oh, God, yeah.
On the line, we have with us Lauren Alley, former McGill faculty member and now works with Vagabond Ministries, and she's going to be one of the keynote speakers for the upcoming Called to Love conference on Saturday, October 8th. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Called to love, baby.
Mm-hmm. Call it.
Yeah, I'm calling right now. I'm calling you, Lauren. Talk to us about the women's conference here for the Archdiocese of Mobile.
Sorry, what was that, Tom?
I said talk to us about this freedom of the feminine genius.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. You know, the women's conference, it's just a really cool time. I was thinking about that yesterday. Actually, I was praying about, my talk and stuff and just how like a cool thing it is, that the Archdiocese does truly. I mean, the Archdiocese that I grew up in really, to my knowledge, didn't do much, many events really at all. So I'm just really humbled, honestly, anytime I have the opportunity to be at one of the conferences for the Archdiocese, that they would care enough to be putting on, events to get people together, especially the women's conference, which I've always just really appreciated, like a day to come together specifically as women in the Archdiocese. And every time I'm there, I just like look around like, man, what a powerhouse group of women that are here, wanting to come together, wanting something more, wanting to learn, wanting to go deeper in their faith. And yeah, I just think it's just such an awesome thing. So this year is Freedom of the Feminine Genius, and really just based on this, this take that the church holds dear, that to be a woman is really, really important. And a take that the world, you know, is constantly shifting on, whether it's, you know, that women should have, I don't know, man. So many just come to mind. My brain just over flooded with so many things. It's just, man, there's so many debates and arguments and rallies and parades for women and all these things. It's like, man, yeah, what does it actually mean? And I think the church actually does a phenomenal job of being like, hey, listen, like, women are so vital to the world, and they're so vital to the church, and they're so vital to the family and to the home. And there's so many reasons for that. And so what they're going to do, what we're going to do at the women's conference this year is really break that down. Like, why is it so important for women to be women? And what does that mean for them physically, mentally, and also spiritually? Like, what do you bring to the world as a woman in those three aspects, mentally, physically, and spiritually? So I'm excited about it. I just think, man, more than ever, it's just a cool topic to be able to sit down and share with community, especially a community that you live with, your own community, your own archdiocese.
I'm so grateful for this, Lauren, really because of my wife and my four daughters. That's what I'm most grateful for, because the world is lying to them 24/7 and telling them this is what the definition of a woman is. And really, just as you're saying, that's almost the opposite of what we're talking about, right?
Right.
We're speaking with Lauren Alley, and she's going to be one of the keynote speakers at the Archdiocesan Conference for Women. It's called Called to Love, and it's Saturday, October 8th, and it begins at 8:15 at St. Mary's with Mass. And then next door, over at McGill-Tulin Catholic High School, the whole setup will happen, and there'll be the speakers and such. I think it's important, Lauren, and you made a point of that, is that the church has always respected and known the place for women. And the world these days does not actually honor and respect women in the capacity that they were made in the image and likeness of God. And they throw all these other things with this. I was talking with somebody after the Mass last night and just saying, you know, as young women, when I was growing up, we were sold a bill of goods. You could have it all. You could go do this and have this fabulous career and earn all this money and work in this cubicle farm. And then, you know, when it was time or ready, then maybe you get married and maybe have a kid or two, but not too many. You wouldn't want to disrupt this great life you're living out there. And I really think women these days, we've seen the false doctrine of that. And so we have to really honestly look at ourselves and say, You really can't have everything. You have to pick and choose the most important things in your life, and you have to go after them. And it's a nice theory to think you could do it all, and you can attempt and you can find some balance, but don't put all your eggs into thinking you are going to be solely satisfied with what the world is selling you a woman is. And I think that's really where the church's teachings come to life. And they say, you are beautifully made and loved as you are, and you don't have to chase a lot of these false doctrines the world tells us. So I think a conference like this brings some speakers together that can speak about that in all aspects of life, and it'll lift you up. It'll encourage you. It'll encourage you to talk to other young women and your daughters and granddaughters about what a truly well-lived life looks like.
Yeah, amen. And I always come back to is just this idea. And I think why it's so great to take a day, come to a conference or a retreat or something on this lines is I think the most powerful, I know the most powerful way we can get this point across is just by living it out and the witnesses, you know, for me, my whole life, of witnesses of women who knew what they were about, you know, and knew what they were called to and knew that they were beloved. You know, those women's were objectively the women that stepped in and changed my life and showed me what that really meant. And I still see them today and they're still affecting me and they're still calling me to be better and to be holier and to rise up. And so, yeah, I think for me, that's what's really exciting about the conference is let's get together. Let's talk about it. Let's encourage each other and then let's get out there and live it. Just like you're saying, so that we can share that with the world, share that with whether it's your kids or your siblings or, I mean, any women that you get to come across from me, like in my own ministry or even when I was at McGill, like what that meant to be a woman who lived that out, I think will always be the most effective tool we have to teach that.
I think the struggle, though, is just as we mentioned, is that that's going countercultural. It's going against pretty much everything that social media is saying to us and everything that Ellen pointed out, that you can have it all. This is the dream. This is what you should ascribe towards. I can't tell you how many times, Lauren, my own wife has heard from people, oh, well, you used to be an RN and you kind of just threw that away so that you could raise your family. And she's like, well, what are you talking about? First of all, I didn't used to be an RN. I still am.
Right.
But I'm just doing full-time pediatrics at home.
Yeah.
And
as a whole ward.
And now I just want to point out, you were a bridesmaid in my daughter's wedding. And someone said to me, and this woman, I'm not going to name who it was, is a professional. She kind of did have it all. Or, you know, she ascribed towards all those things, was very, very successful in the eyes of the world. And when she watched my wife be escorted down the aisle there by her six sons, she said, I started to tear up. And I thought, man, now that is a life well lived, which is kind of countercultural, isn't it, Lauren?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I really do. I mean, that just comes back to witness and women who are fearlessly living that out. I mean, I always think people are like, well, it's so hard to be able to live that out and it's so hard to go against all the countercultural things. But I always think to that response, like, have you ever met a determined woman? I mean, you could swing it both ways. I know you could swing that answer, but like, a woman who's convicted of her worth and who she belongs to and that she's a child of God, like she really is a daughter of God, like, man, don't get in her way. Like, she will just like, see, like she'll set the world ablaze. Like, don't mess with that. So that's my hope for the conference, really, is that through really incredible conversation and talks and reflection, that we can just cultivate that. Like everyone who comes to the conference, a convicted woman ready to go set the world on fire. Like, don't get in her way. She knows. She knows what she's about.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. So how does someone sign up for the conference, which is, again, taking place Saturday, October 8th. It begins with the 8:15 a.m. Mass at St. Mary's Church. And then you walk on over to McGill. And it will include not only the talks and the breakout sessions and so forth. Lunch is involved. They'll have the Sacrament of Reconciliation. There'll be adoration. It's going to be a great day. But how do you sign up, Lauren?
You hop on the interwebs. Go on over. Yeah, they make it easy for you. So the Mobile Conference Office, actually, their website's awesome. Check it out. They keep all up to date on all their conferences that they do, which, again, is really cool because they do more than just the Call to Love conference. Like I was saying, just really incredible growing up in a place that didn't have any. There's quite a few. So, yeah, if you head to their website, they got tickets for sale there. I know that for a fact, unless you also know some secret ways that others
Well, I'm out. Looking at this thing that says click here to purchase tickets online.
So easy, you can do it, Todd.
Exactly. Okay. Or there is a phone number. I mean, if you want to go, you know, old school and call, you can call. You can. I can throw the digits out, or I can click here to purchase tickets online.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to share just a little bit of maybe what you're going to be talking about, Lauren, just to give us a little enticement?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, there's going to be three different talks throughout the day, one to focus on the body, one to focus on, you know, the mind and psychology, and then I'll be tackling the spirituality side. And, I mean, it kind of funnels into what I was saying before, but really just the importance, what does it mean for a woman spiritually? And I think it's kind of majority of the time when we're talking about spirituality, it's all grouped together, like between men and women, which is, there's a common spirituality, obviously, but there's also something really unique about a woman's heart and the way that God created the woman's heart, and the way that even, you know, women converse with God and communicate with him, and the way he communicates with us, it's just different in some ways and not better than the way he communicates with men, but there's something different. It's not something we really talk about a lot, but I think something that is really important, like what is unique about your spirituality as a woman and why does that make a difference and what can you do with that? So I don't want to give it all away, but yeah, that'll be my main focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean to disagree with you, but I am going to say it is better for women.
Mm-hmm.
See, the way that God communicates to women is better for women. And the way that he communicates to men is better for men. I think it's okay for us to admit that, right, Lauren?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Which I think, yeah, again, once again, is like part of what this world sells, you know, mm-hmm. is like, man, if it's not all the same, then it's not fair. And if it's not fair, then it's not right. You know, and man, yeah, you just can't.
That's so super. That is just dumb. I mean, I'm sorry. You know, this, because I don't have any issues that women have different things, different needs, and the aspect of what is given to a woman is different from a man. I don't have any issues. I don't want.
Makes the world go round.
Yeah, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. I want what's best for me so that I can grow in holiness, so that I can have a positive effect on the world. That's what I want. And I want the same thing for you, Lauren, and I know it's going to look different, right?
Amen. Amen.
So the Call to Love Women's Conference, still time to get your tickets. It's a week from Saturday. It starts at 8:15 with Mass at St. Mary's, as all good events. Lauren Alley, who'll be one of the keynote speakers. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks for having me.
Great. Have a good morning. What a fireball.
Indeed.
Father McTeague is going to join us next. The Guns of August, Then and Now. Oh, he's going to break it down what that means. And some of our listeners may know the Guns of August. We're going to look at it, how it reflects on today on L.A. Catholic Morning.
The bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
Thank you.
Father Booten would love this. You know what this is the theme from?
No.
What? Rambo. Come on.
Ah.
He would love that.
Mike,
welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Mike the Greek producing like a boss over there. We have this on the line, Father Robert McTague, and we're looking at his article in Crisis Magazine. If you go to crisismagazine.com, The Guns of August, Then and Now. Good morning, Father.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be with you.
Thanks so much for joining us. When I read your article, though, I got to tell you, it just points out my naivete. I really do think that in 2022, we have evolved and progressed enough to where we're not going to go to war with one another, that we can sit down and settle things and not repeat the past. And yet it seems like it just continues on, doesn't it, Father?
I think it has something to do with free will and original sin. You see, there I go, speaking as a Christian again. Yeah. I know, it's a habit.
Oh, Todd needs more than that to be mad about.
There's a lot to be concerned about. And, you know, when people tell you this time it'll be different, we're going to ignore Christ like we always did, but we're going to have a much better result. Just you wait and see. That's when it's time to head to the air raid shelters.
I think it is hard and frustrating. I think a lot of people feel like Todd does, that we've seen the writing on the wall. We've tried and tested world war, and that did not do anyone good in this world. Yet here we are in the early parts of the 21st century, almost in the same position again. And so you've got conflict in Europe and a worldwide disruptors trying to do their thing as well. And it feels like we haven't learned, and yet we're marching step by step down the path in the same way that could lead to something even more destructive, because we've learned to be more destructive in 100 years. Is that correct?
The pace of the development of technology has far outstripped the pace of moral maturity, which tends to go along on a very, very slow crawl. You know, I began the article by a quote that was attributed to Mark Twain that said, history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme very nicely. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to see the rhyming. And the idea of how we can avoid World War III with this one weird trick is not what I'm trying to say. Ultimately, we're in a situation that's beyond human remedy. And I think we're going to have to turn to Our Lady of Fatima.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's my stance.
Uh-huh. And I agree, but it still just fascinates me, because I just think, I look back and it wasn't that long ago. It was fairly recent history when World War II took place and the atrocities that took place. And I just think, how can we do that? Like, it just doesn't make any sense, Father.
Well, you know, there was a book that came out called In the Year of Our Lord, 1943, and there was a group of religious scholars, Protestants, Christians, Catholics, Jews, and they all kind of came to the same conclusion that, if we want the second half of the 20th century to be much better than the first half, we have to reclaim a heritage of Christian humanism. By the time the first UN meeting started in 1946, 1947, they said, yeah, no, the heck with that. We got to leave God out. We've got to leave Christ out. It'll be great. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are. So part of what I want to do is sound the alarm in a way that says, rather than wishful thinking, let's act in hope. And the way we act in hope is to do what Our Lady has called us to do at every authenticated apparition, which is to repent and to turn to God and to clutch our rosaries and wear them out flat by praying them every day.
Amen.
Wow.
But the other issue that's going on, Father, is I talked to a young adult fairly recently who claims to be an agnostic, maybe atheist. I don't know exactly. It was hard for him to define his stance. But I said, you're only able to do that because you live in basically a Christian society. And I know we can argue that, but I think the moral vein that is taking place in our culture is really being held up by a small percentage of those who believe in God. And that's where goodness comes from, right, Father?
Right. We have a lot of people who are living off the momentum of Christendom and Western civilization. And very often, you know, atheists and agnostics, some of them can be very nice people, but their claimed ethics needs my metaphysics and my theology.
Amen.
And they're not willing to do the intellectual heavy lifting to do that. Because in their worldview, God is the ultimate buzzkill. God gets in the way of all the clever ways that we want to violate the sixth commandment. And God is calling shenanigans on us. And you know, either we repent or he's going to chastise. I think repenting is a lot easier to take.
Yeah, but I think the scales are going to get tipped. That's the problem. If we do not really evangelize our culture and work towards having people in relationship with God, then it really can tip. If you get too many people on the side of the Nietzschean will to power, and then they're just going to live their lives that way, sooner or later, you're not going to have enough moral base and background. Right, Father?
Right. You know, I mean, Nietzsche was crazy, but he wasn't stupid. He knew what he was doing. And then there's a lot of hand-waving, because Nietzsche is actually scary. So you don't go quite off the cliff. We'll be existentialist. We'll be postmodernist. We'll be ironic. You need to read my book, Real Philosophy for Real People. I talk about all of this. Ultimately, it comes down to this. Either you're a full-blown theist. God is personal. He sets the moral order. He holds us accountable. Or it's all over.
Mm-hmm.
And those are really the only honest options. What concerns me even more is not the atheists, the agnostics. It's the people who are calling the church to abandon the gospel and natural law and apostolic tradition and embrace the values of the world. And that's what's concerning me even more. We've got people drilling holes in the bottom of the boat.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good metaphor and a vision of our problem here. I think one of the challenges, and Todd, it comes out kind of in the frustration that you show, is that we've seen when we don't live in a Christ-centered world, and we've seen the latter part of the 20th century as we just let it go and said, that's okay, they're doing their own thing. And to an extent, Father, it is free will, and we have to honor that. But it feels like the remnant that is Christian and trying to live a Christian life has been saying this for some time, yet societies and cultures are still marching towards an agnostic, atheistic existence to their detriment, and they don't see that what Christian values and morals and loving God brings to a culture. So how do we move off of this path we're on? Because it feels like the crowd is marching and the believers and unbelievers are being dragged along, whether we want to go or not in this direction. So where do we go?
Well, at the risk of appearing self-serving, I have a book coming out next week with Ignatius Press called Christendom Lost and Found, Meditations for a Post-Christian Era. Here's the elevator pitch. Since the time of this French Revolution, 1789, the West, what used to be known as Christendom, said, I've got an idea, let's all live without Christ, it'll be great. And we ended up with not only a lot of bad art, but a whole lot of dead bodies. I wrote this book as kind of a war journal, looking out the window and then looking at my computer screen and then looking at the chapel. And I wrote it during the COVID interruption and when people were thirsting for justice by setting our cities on fire.
Mm-hmm.
This is not what happy, healthy people do. This is not what people conformed to Christ do. And what concerns me among the baptized, those who are still going to church, and those few who attend synodality meetings, is to say, you know what we should do? We should be more like the world. It'll be great. Then people will like us more. I don't know what to say to those people anymore except to pray for them, because they seem to be impervious of acknowledging evidence.
And it's amazing, though, because it really does repeat itself. I had a conversation years ago, Father, with someone concerning the atrocity that happened in Rwanda. And we were discussing, and I said, how does something like that happen? How do you go from one day being just living your life, and then the next day people are killing their neighbors with a machete? Like, it's just, that is just vile. And he, who's an incredibly holy person, said, well, Todd, either you're dedicated to Christ or you're going to become like Cain. I mean, that's just how it works. There is no middle ground, right, Father?
Right. Well, no, that's absolutely right. I mean, I tell people, you don't put on the altar of Christ and sacrifice to the Father. You don't get to keep. It gets eaten by Satan.
Mm-hmm.
The choice is that stark. Apart from Christ, our Lord said, apart from me, you can do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Absent the grace of Christ, what do you think is going to happen? And we're not just withholding ourselves from the grace of Christ. We're working against. And what we see now is a war against the Creator, against the Christ, and against the creature. Mm-hmm. It's a multi-front war, and we have to say we can share in Christ's victory, or we're going to be drowned in our own blood. Mm. Those are the only options. And these tepid ideas that if we sit in a circle and listen without judging and meet people where they're at as if they were anywhere else, that somehow that's going to fix things. I don't know what to say to people like that anymore. I pray for them, but I want to shoo the faithful remnant into the ark at this point. I don't have a 10-point program to turn this around.
Well, yeah. And I was going to ask you, give us a little nugget of hope here, but I think you said it back at the beginning, though, that Our Lady and the apparitions at Fatima in particular were made for this time and this place and we as this people.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're still pertinent, even more pertinent 100 years after they happened, because we haven't learned anything. Right, Father?
Right. You know, I mean, I tell people Our Lady did not go to Fatima as a tourist. There wasn't anything to see there. And then she appeared in Japan in Akita to say, no, I'm not kidding. I really meant it when I was at Fatima.
Right.
And that's really where we are now. But how often do we hear solid teaching about the rosary? Instead, we hear this nonsense in Atlantic Magazine that it's code word for AR-15s or Christian nationalists mm-hmm. and white supremacists. How often do we hear about the scapular, the miraculous medal, praying the little office of Our Lady? How often do we hear about, you know, making the five first Saturdays? Those things can only do us good.
Mm-hmm.
And Our Lady specifically asked for it. And we're getting distracted by other things. We were exhorted recently by a famous Twitter account in Rome to imitate the meekness of plants.
Don't go. Because
climate change, environment, Laudato Si, lather, rinse, repeat.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It seems we've created a lot of false gods. And that's what people are looking
for. Why are we doing that? We have one that's real. Like, why do we need false gods, Father? This is crazy.
Well, because we love our sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Whoa, whoa,
we make idols.
Whoa.
Work of human hands. when you make your idol, you control your idol. That's part of the appeal.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean,
all right. Whereas the living God to whom we are accountable, you can't manipulate that God, and you love your sin more.
Yeah.
Wow. You love your sin more than reality.
Okay.
And they form it into a reality. And they also create that this is not really a sin. I'm just being who I am.
Right.
You know? Mm. It's sad. And they're leading people astray with that. I think we have to pray that
Recommend, Father? We should burn up our burn up our rosaries by use.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's what I meant.
Okay,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, but what
yeah,
else?
Yeah,
what else
we're out our rosaries by use. Uh-huh. Go to confession.
Wow.
That wasn't clear.
What?
Yeah, for those of you just tuning in, probably should go to confession. Go to Mass prepared.
I explain.
Go to Mass
explain
prepared.
Explain.
Arrive early. Stay late. Okay. Well, look, on Thursday, look up the Sunday scriptures and start praying over them.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So you have some sort of expectation. Receive Holy Communion only if you're in a state of grace and in right relationship with the Church. Come to Mass early. Stay late. Don't applaud for the musicians at the end of Mass. There, I said it.
Thank you. As one of the musicians, thank you.
Well, there we are. And you know, so it's the sacraments. It's good example. It's the sacraments. You know, support your local monastery. Your contemplative women are keeping the sky from falling.
Amen.
Support
Amen.
Your local Carmelite monastery. We can weather this storm. Christ our Lord wants to share the victory with us.
Amen.
All we have to do is let him.
Yeah.
I feel like we should have Father McTague on like every week for like a pep talk here. This is solid stuff.
Well, no, but it is important to be reminded of it, Father, because
exactly.
even in our just day to day, we kind of lose sight because it does become a little weighty when you're looking at the world. I really still cannot believe that Russia is at war with Ukraine. Like, it's 2022.
Yeah.
Like, what? Couldn't they have sat down? I mean, if there were any differences and kind of worked them out? Aren't we adults, Father?
Efforts were made, but let's not forget war is a racket.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in the right kind of business, war is really good for business.
Mm-hmm.
You can get really rich selling to both sides, and that certainly happened throughout the 20th century and well into the 21st. And if you do like to hear what I have to say, I host my own program, The Catholic Current, at thestationofthecross.com. You can find it on any podcast platform. I'm on 5 days a week.
Wow.
Yeah, but people are dying.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a waste.
But people die through our time. We have to use our free will.
It is such a waste. That doesn't – it's infuriating, Father.
Yes, it is. And think of how much it breaks Our Lady's heart to see those for whom her son shed his precious blood tear each other apart.
Mm-hmm. And so your book coming out is Christendom Lost and Found. Meditation.
It's called Christendom Lost and Found. That'll be out next week.
Okay.
And then my previous one is called Real Philosophy for Real People. You need that one, too.
Ah, look at him.
Nice.
You are gold. Father, could we get a blessing from you before you leave?
Of course. Through the intercession of St. Ignatius Loyola, may God's peace reign in your heart. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace, and please do pray for me.
Amen.
I will do. Father,
thanks, Father.
Robert McTague.
Thank you.
McTague.
I was going to get it right the second time.
There you go.
Oh, wow. Go check out his work. The Catholic Current, that's his podcast, too.
Coming up,
Blogosphere, Todd. There's a lot going on in the news. We're going to start with Cardinal Zen and break it down from there because there's a lot, Todd.
I'm not wearing one glove, Mike.
Oh.
That'd be awesome.
I left it at home.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Mike the Great producing like a boss over there.
Shimon.
Blogosphere.
Yeah, it's Thursday. Well, certain Thursdays that come in just annoy
mm-hmm.
Todd. There's a lot going on in the world. I, when I was looking where these news stories intersect in faith and culture, it feels like every day, and we could tell from our conversation last segment with Father, is that everything seems to intersect with faith.
Right.
We just choose not to see it. There's a lot of things going on in this world. Some things I can't even wrap my head around. We were talking briefly yesterday about that Nord Stream pipeline situation and what are the implications on that. And, you know, I just got to think there's a lot of people doing nefarious things and evil in the world for their own ends and benefits. And then there's shining lights that, although maybe their candle glows softly, it is steady and it is true. And one of those peoples is Cardinal Zen from Hong Kong. He is 90-year-old. I guess he's retired now, but he's still looked at as a spiritual leader, particularly in the Asian Catholic world. And he has been arrested since May when the government arrested him. And several other high-profile, mainly Christians, working over in Hong Kong and the Asian sphere over there, in that they said that he raised money for a humanitarian relief fund, and they said that they used some of that money for political activities and non-charity events. So this is the government over there accusing them. They arrested him. They put him in jail. And the trial started. And then it abruptly stopped on Tuesday. So a lot of people are wondering what happened. So just to get you up to date on it, because there's been a lot of news this week and between hurricanes and gas lines and stuff, you may not have heard what happened here. So they have prosecutor put on some cases and some defendants. And basically the defense said that they their defendants, Cardinal Zen and his associates, have a right to form an association under basic law in Hong Kong. And the prosecution said that, well, you should have registered the fund within a month of starting, and you didn't do that, and what other small procedural things may have happened. So for that, they're in jail. And when the defense tried to cross-examine the prosecution witnesses, the defense was overruled and said that they were irrelevant by the judge. And then the trial was adjourned before the defense could call any witnesses to make its case. They claim it's going to restart October 26th, which is interesting. So you got to ask, it should have been a short trial, should have lasted a week. So what's going on, and why didn't the cardinal be able to have his day in court, so to speak, as we would say in the rest? There's a lot of things going on in China. It's been a, call that like a soft power. It's been slowly rising in influence throughout the last couple decades across the West as well. And so one of the things that China's tried to settle, and the Vatican has to some extent, is the situation with the Catholics in China, who gets to appoint the bishops. This has been going on for some time. And a couple years ago, when the agreement first was reached between the Chinese Communist Party and the Vatican, that they would work together to appoint bishops, Cardinal Zen, and he was about 88 at the time, flew over to Rome from Hong Kong to try to gain an audience with Pope Francis to say, please don't do this. This is not good for the faithful Catholic, and it will be harmful for the bishops that we have appointed. And Pope Francis did not meet with him. As someone said in quoting from an article I read, he was shown the back of the hand. and so he was sent, he went back home without being able to appeal why this should not happen. So this month that is supposed to be renewed, that treaty with the Catholic Church and the Chinese government. So some are speculating that the Chinese government does not want to have this trial go on and then try to negotiate this treaty with the Vatican again. Better to wait and then convict Cardinal Zen afterwards, after they've got the rubber stamp of this going through. Some have speculated on that. Some have speculated that there is also the big meeting with the Chinese Communist Party in regards to Xi Jinping being appointed emperor, or elected, I say that in air quotes, emperor for life, and that they don't want this hanging over it as well. So either way, there's a lot of political reasons going on. But meanwhile, a very holy man sits accused and detained under Chinese authorities for basically pointing out and speaking up for his sheep. I think that that's the thing we always talk about sometimes in the news, that why don't bishops stand up? Why don't they take a stand when all these things go on? And you can see what happens when you take a stand, that you're going to be persecuted. And even worse, you know, in some cases, some bishops and priests have gone missing in China because they did not want to buy into this agreement. And so there's a lot of issues going on behind the scenes. And we've always had this thought that the Vatican plays the long game. They see the long game. So some people have said about why this agreement should happen is that the Vatican does not want to lose access to any of the Christians and Catholics that are in China. And by not making these agreements, that might happen. So maybe it's an agreement that's a hard pill to swallow. But we talked with Tom Riello the other day. You got to stand up and say what is right, and what is wrong, and too many people, perhaps in the highest levels of the hierarchy of bishops or appointing bishops are not doing that. So it's a tightrope wire that we're walking.
It's hard not to be skeptical, though.
Yes,
because,
I know.
You know, I remember asking someone who's a professor, super intelligent, you know, two doctorate degrees, the whole thing. And I said, why did they give Hong Kong back?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even understand that. And he just started laughing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what's so funny? He goes, come on, Todd. It's all money.
Mm-hmm.
It's all money. I mean, that's where the power is. We've created this environment.
Yes.
We said, hey, let's let everything in the world be manufactured in China.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. And then once you have that single source and all that money is streaming in there, what do you think they're going to do with that money? Are they going to use it for infrastructure for their people? No, they're going to go around and buy whatever they want and buy influence in the world. That's what they're doing.
And we have seen it even in our own hemisphere. Stories have dropped a lot this year about Chinese influence in Latin America. And the United States, we used to have a policy called the Monroe Doctrine. We all learned about it in school, that don't mess with the Americas as a foreign power to come in here. We will protect North America and South America. And money has corrupted that promise that we made 250 years ago and that we had held to because of money. And also, money has corrupted many that would make wise decisions in our government. There are some these days that think that we've had a lot of focus on Russia and Ukraine, and people will disagree with me that that is important. We must stand firm. But it feels in many days we're fighting last century's battles, that we think that because we know the playbook, oh, we're going to do this or do that. Meanwhile, we've let the influence of China creep up into the world without checking it, without pushing back in ways that were maybe not as painful as it will be going forward to push back against that. And to our own detriment, and to the detriment of the spiritual lives of the Chinese Christians and the Asian regions, that we have not had a care for that because we've been, our eyes have been turned by the money and the gold we can get over there. And now we've created issues and problems and stirred up the pot in other parts of the world, mainly the Eastern European, the Russian theater. And we seem to put a lot of resources in that. And I'm not saying that's not important to address, but to the detriment of not recognizing what is going on in the Asian front.
But I think it's a dangerous setup, this paradigm and this equation that we have. I shared the story back when I was putting on the addition on our house. There was such a delay on the sliding glass doors, the patio doors. And I actually called the manufacturer in Canada and asked, what's the deal? What's the holdup? And they said, we cannot get the PVC pellets because they all come from China.
Yeah.
And everything's locked down. To have a single source, that means you're not going to be able to make windows. That's a big deal to a housing market. I mean, we have set this up where it's dangerous how much power that we've given to that country.
And I think we have to wake up to that. And we're going to have to make painful choices as a country because we loved the easy money. We loved the growing 401k as these companies' stocks all went up.
Because even look at the difference in the numbers. Okay,
yeah.
Just to give you that example again, that sliding glass door that I wanted was $300.
Right.
The next step up that I could have gotten was $1,000.
Right.
That's not a slight difference. So when you say we've got to make hard choices,
it's really
going to be painful to the wallet.
It is. It's also a situation we brought on ourselves. I'll use this example, and it's just personal. My dad, in the 60s, started working for IBM, biggest computer company in the world.
Blue chip, baby, blue chip.
They were a company that built things. My dad went out to the biggest places when he was in New York City. And then when we moved to Florida, handling all of the computer systems that ran Eastern Airlines in the day, this company supported, helped my dad on one salary support a family with six kids, sending them to Catholic school.
That's awesome.
We went as a kid, I would remember every year they'd have a big Christmas party for all the people that worked in the, hundreds of people. Every kid got a present. The annual picnic in August where we all went to some beach thing and they had the whole, it was family friendly. It was a company that made things, built things. They trained my dad. They taught him all kinds of things. He raised his family. And when I was watching, the U.S. Open this year, they had a lot of commercials for IBM. And it was all about logistics and running the planning to make sure the inventory is just in time. And we were watching it. I was sitting with my dad. I'm like, do they make anything anymore? Do they fix anything anymore? IBM was a company that was the epitome of what America was.
Right.
And it's a shell of itself. It's selling us on nothing now. Logistics, moving stuff from place to place that we're getting from China, so you don't have to sit inventory. Is that something? We were something with that company. It's something now, but it's a shell. You can't put it in your hand. You can't feel it. You can't raise a family on it and work there for decades and have pride.
All right, so how do we move forward?
I think we go back to what Father said in the last segment. Father, I'm going to McTague. Did I say it right?
You got it.
He was awesome. He was right on it. We need to go back to what mattered. We need to go back to praying, raising our families. I may not be able to change what IBM is now, but I can keep my family, and we live a Christ-centered life, and we live in and build that outward into our community, and our community goes outward and spreads that outside Baldwin and Mobile County, to Alabama, to Florida, Mississippi, to the greater country. We cannot change the world by sitting here, even behind our microphones, but we can change the world by praying and teaching others to pray and passing along the faith in what really matters in this world, because
Amen.
There's a lot of things that are going to happen.
Beautiful.
It's my rant for the day.
No, that was good. It's good stuff. We continue to pray for everybody in the path of hurricanes.
Yep. Yeah, we'll see the footage coming out this morning. It's probably not going to be that pretty, we pray. We are blessed. Thanks, everybody, who came and prayed with us last night.
Amen.
We thank our sponsor, Coastal Segway Adventures, offering kayak and paddleboard rentals for a fun-filled, hassle-free day on Lake Shelby. To make your reservation, visit CoastalSegwayAdventures.com or call 251-509-TOUR. Coastal Segway Adventures, coast the Gulf, coast life. Mikey, what you got?
Yes, tomorrow, Tom McDonald previews Pinocchio, the live-action remake of that. And he'll take a look at the animated versus live-action remakes of Disney classics and compare the two. We'll talk with Lorraine Binet about the book Little Way of Living with Less. And Deacon Bill Harkins will provide our Sunday gospel reflection.
We saw him last night.
Yeah.
Man.
He was awesome.
Uh-huh. Great. Awesome, awesome. Well, we hope everyone has a fantastic day. Let's continue again to pray for all those affected by Hurricane Ian. Have a wonderful day. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless y'all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.